Welcome to the Educated Guest Podcast. I'm your host, Zaref. That's C-Z-A-R-E-F-F, a.k.a. Caesar Does It on them Twitters. Transmitting live and direct, the office is San Diego, the cubicle is Chula Vista. This is your local math teacher here to talk to you about a few things today. I'm going to run this game solo on you. I'm going to give you that itinerary, but before I do that, you know I got to drop the disclaimer. Hold tight. These opinions are mine and mine only, and in no way, shape, or form do they reflect those of my employer or the association that I work for. All right, having said that, here's what we're going to get down with today. We're going to talk a little bit about International Women's Day, and I'm going to shout out my moms on that. A little bit about 45 and his minions in the White House, and how their lack of basic history is contributing to a toxic political climate that is reaching the far corners of this country. You got all kind of people popping off talking crazy nonsense. One of them is an elected official here locally, and we'll get into that. I want to touch on a situation for a student out in North Carolina having to do with that same kind of toxic environment. I want to talk about what my district is doing to protect all students. We're going to get a little bit into bargaining and San Diego Unified. I came upon some information about their budget woes. Talk a little bit about that. The funky sounds that you hear in the back, are DJ High Tech. He's one of my favorite producers out of Cincinnati. It's an interpolation of a song called Memoirs of a Traveler by a group called Jagger. And he just fixed this up nice and funky for you. All right, so we're going to fade this out and get into it. I want to send a shout out of love and respect to all the women out there. You guys are leading. You guys are leading this fight. You're leading the resistance, and we see you. I want to throw a fist up for all the ladies that marched on Washington. Excuse me. Marched on Washington the day after the inauguration. There were tens of hundreds of thousands of you out in those streets, and you are the true inspiration for this resistance. Please keep it up. We know it's working. Shout out to the ladies that went out in the streets last night. Some of you got arrested. Hope everything works out for you. I wore red. You wore red. Some of you stayed home from work. Some of you did not. It doesn't matter to me. You ladies are making strong power moves, and you are the backbone of this country. I want to send a shout out. I want to send a shout out on International Women's Day to my mom, the strongest woman I know. She's currently retired after 37 years of service to the San Diego Unified School District. And anybody who is somebody and has done hard work in that district knows who my mom is. Here locally in Chula Vista, same thing. She involved herself in the politics of politics in general. But she organized for many years on behalf of women, specifically Latino women. So anybody who's done hard work out here in Chula Vista on the political front, they know who my mom's is also, okay? And that's not to brag or boast. That's just, it is what it is. She comes from a small town in the Imperial Valley called Calexico. It's right on the border of Mexicali. She got pregnant with me at a very young age, and her and my father moved to San Diego, where she was educated at San Diego State. I remember going to State as a very young child while she was getting her education, basically for free back in those days, because that's what public education was all about, right? That's what the state colleges were all about, was giving you an affordable college education. She worked herself up into 2 degrees and 2 credentials, and they recognized her expertise in teaching early on in her career and made her what's called a resource teacher, right? Somebody who teaches other teachers the skills that they need to do their job. That ended up translating into her working for the district in the capacity of parent involvement. Okay, this was a burgeoning concept in the late 80s, early 90s for San Diego Unified, and I remember her taking several trips all over the country to workshops, to seminars, to courses that had to do with the topic. She is still the premier source of information for parent engagement. And I'm really, really, really proud of my mother. She has also been a part of organizing for women. She belongs to a national Latina women's group called MANA. She was at one time the president of MANA. And that work has translated into people of all walks of life knowing who my mom is. So again, shout out, love, and respect to all of you women out there. And I love you, Mom. And let's get into the rest of the podcast here, right? I got some things I want to get off my chest. There will be no interview today. So if you are looking for me to interview a fine educator, this is not the podcast for you. I've been wanting to get some things off my chest for a while now, but I didn't want to really do the rant thing, okay? But enough is enough, and we have to discuss how the political climate of today affects those of us in education and how it affects our kids. As we know, 45 and his minions in the White House, we know that history and we know that facts are not the important things of the day. Recently, we've heard some pretty appalling things about poor people, about immigrants, about black people, and all of this translates to a very toxic climate. We've seen the videos, we've seen people getting crazy in department stores, yelling at other people to go back to their country. We've seen all kind of, I voted for Trump, that's why I voted for Trump, go back where you came. We've seen it all. We've seen the kids in the lunchroom chanting, build the wall, okay? And it all starts at the top, doesn't it? Your man, 45, tweeted out on International Women's Day that nobody has more respect for women or that he has a tremendous amount of respect for women. Come on, bro. Like Jay-Z said, we don't believe you. You need more people. We have quotes all the way back to 1982 about his sexism and his attacks on women. We got recent quotes, how he talked to that poor woman that won the Miss Universe, right? We've seen him call ladies pigs. We've seen him call them all kind of names. I'm not going to get into it because it is International Women's Day and I don't want to refer to women in those kind of words. But we know what's up with 45, okay? And in terms of black people, we know that he doesn't know a whole lot on that either. Your man spoke about Frederick Douglass in the present tense, okay? He doesn't know that Frederick Douglass is dead, okay? This man looms larger than life when it comes to history, when it comes to what he did during those times. And the president says, we hear he's doing great things. He doesn't know he's dead. It's ridiculous, okay? And in a stunning case of whose man's is this, Ben Carson is given a speech and refers to slaves as immigrants in the bottoms of those slave ships and that they had hopes and dreams. Slaves are the first immigrants. And this ain't the first time. This ain't the first time your guy Ben Carson has said ridiculous stuff. We know that his theory about the Egyptian pyramids is that he thought they were huge grain silos that were built by Joseph. And if you search online for quotes by Ben Carson, it's kind of crazy because some of them, you don't know if they're true or they're false. There was something about abortions and baby ghosts. I honestly had to run that one by Snopes. And I don't know if that says more about him or more about me, but I had to run that by Snopes just to make sure it was fake. Because this guy is the smartest, dumbest surgeon that we've ever seen. All right. If I got two co-joined twins that I need to separate, I'm going to holler at Ben Carson. But if I want to learn about black history and if I want somebody to get a big job done for this country, probably not going to call you. Okay. So don't expect a call from me, Mr. Carson. In the meantime, open your eyes and fix them teeth. They're kind of running wild all up in your mouth. Our Secretary of Education, she's a mess too. We're going to have lots of material here at the Educated Guest Podcast to use, not necessarily against her. All I can do is laugh to stop from crying sometimes. But shout out to the people that blocked Betsy DeVos from entering a public school on her first attempt. Shout out to those 8 people All right, she arrived. She arrived in the black SUV. She had the FBI or the CIA or the Secret Service goons with her. Big, muscular, smart, trained killers. And she saw eight people with signs yelling at her, and she turned her ass right around. She was shook. All right, shout out to you eight people for giving her the business. She has no experience in public education, and she needs to get educated herself before she steps foot on one. But her quote of recent shocking craziness was that historically black colleges and universities were the original pioneers of school choice. Okay, we know Betsy is all about school choice. She's all about vouchers. But she tried to flip and play a visit by the presidents of historical black colleges. She tried to play that and say that they were the true pioneers of school choice. Sorry, Betsy, but there was no choice. Okay, your ancestors didn't want to educate them, so they had to do it for themselves. There was no choice other than staying uneducated. Okay? So we're starting to see a reoccurring theme here. Okay, we all should have seen it by now. But this theme of popping off at the mouth, this theme of creating your own narrative based on no fact whatsoever is now reaching out to the far extremes of the country. It's gotten all the way to California, all the way out to North Carolina. It's Florida, Texas. We've seen the videos, all right? And out here in San Diego, in Chula Vista specifically, we got an elected official who's been popping off at the mouth for at least a year or two, okay? Nobody ever thought he'd win in office. He's ran several times and gotten tarred and feathered each time. And he makes these asinine comments on Twitter about immigrants, Muslims, gays. He's a horrible Catholic by Pope Francis' standards, but he's a textbook Christian terrorist by anybody, you know, by common sense. So we're not going to give him any props by saying his actual name. I'm just going to call him the Big H. And his first name does start with H, but we're going to call him the Big H for hate, because that's all he spews on Twitter and social media. Like I said, he's ran for several offices. He's ran for he's ran for city council here in Chula Vista. He's ran for school board twice, I believe. And then he recently ran for water board. And his opponent did not run a campaign because he thought he would win off a name recognition. Well, that was a poor assumption, and now the Big H is in office, and he's still tweeting that Breitbart, Stormfront horseshit. Well, people started to take notice, and it got into our local media, and it started making the rounds on social media, and so people went to his board meeting and spoke out against him. They're coming for you, Big H, and they're not going to stop. There's been a couple of elected officials that have spoken out against him in their board meetings. That's exactly what you are supposed to be doing with your voice, okay? We appreciate that. I personally have never met the Big H. He doesn't make the rounds too much in Chula Vista. I went to a First Friday breakfast with a bunch of politicos, and I hoped to get a first-hand account of what this man looks like and talks like in person, and he didn't make it. The only time I've ever seen the Big H was at a reception for our new superintendent here at the high school district. She was hired back in July, but they had a reception for her sometime in like September at Southwestern Community College. And so everybody who's anybody and the public at large who she serves came out to an event there just to greet her. And there was the Big H. Now, I know you don't, I'm talking to you, man. I know you don't support anybody that was in that room or on that stage, all right? All those elected officials, all those people that were there to congratulate our new superintendent, I know you don't support any of them. You weren't even clapping when people were being introduced. You were in the back stealing all of the finger food is what you were doing, okay? I know that you are a sad, angry, and lonely man. I've trolled you for about a year now on Twitter, and I've seen your antics, okay? But that's the only time I've seen you out in public, getting at the finger food. You, sir, have no legal obligation to step down from your office, but you attack specific, very specific communities that you serve, and you really don't deserve to be in office. So people have called for your resignation, and I hope that you can go ahead and make the right decision for yourself and do that, because your diatribe and your hate, it doesn't belong in office. All right, we're going to take us a small break here, and we're going to come back on the Educated Guest podcast in just a second. I'm going to catch a breath. Well, I got the beat rocking. I want to tell you about a movie that everybody's been talking about. I know you've heard it. Director and writer Jordan Peele. It's called Get Out. Okay, it's not really a horror movie. It's more like a thriller, so you are going to jump a couple of times when you go see it. But this movie is fascinating. Took my wife out on a date. We went to a fancy theater called The Lot in Point Loma. I highly suggest it. But several people had recommended this movie. It touches on racism in an original, provocative fashion that you would never, ever, ever, ever expect. It's going to be talked about in courses for years to come. And I wouldn't be surprised if it won some kind of award, which would be, you know, really odd for a thriller type movie. But this movie, this Get Out, just go see it. Get Out is awesome. My wife and I talked about it all the way home on the drive. And let me just tell you that I don't want to give it away. The most fascinating and thought-provoking line to me in the movie was towards the end, when the protagonist, you know, looks at one of the characters and says, why black people? And his response was met with a little bit of laughter, and it was like, I don't know. And I don't know, this movie's just so deep. When we were walking out, we heard a young lady there say, geez, that movie made me uncomfortable the whole time. Folks, this is an awesome movie, and you are doing yourself a disservice by not going out to see it. If you got one of those streaming devices, it might be on there shortly. So keep an eye on it. It's called Get Out by Jordan Peele. All right, let's get back into the Educated Guest podcast. I was talking about the toxic climate that is reaching the far corners of our country. And in North Carolina, Wake Forest High School, a young man by the name of Micah Speed, young African-American man, his family moved to North Carolina from Chicago so that they could have a more safe environment to live in, to raise their kids in. Okay, I get it. But this young man has been harassed for 2 months by another student, harassed, called all sorts of N-words, was told he should name his kids crackhead and criminal because that's what they were going to grow up to be. All right. And he told an adult on three separate occasions that this was going on. Well, he had enough. He had enough when this bully told him, I'm going to kill you and all your family. That was it. He lost it. And the video shows him pulling this kid down to the ground twice by his backpack. Now, I got a lot of respect for Micah because the video doesn't show him hurting or harming this other student, which I would never, ever, ever condone. Okay? But who knows what kind of reaction people are going to have when you tell them something like that, right? So props to Micah Speed for not getting truly violent in this situation. But for me, the issues are, of course, the blatant racism and bullying that was allowed to go on at this school, and the fact that he told an adult on three separate occasions, and on one occasion he was told, they are only words. I don't know who you are. I don't know if you're a teacher. I don't know if you're an assistant principal, a dean. I don't know what capacity you work in the school, but you have no business in education if you're not there to keep kids safe, okay? Not just physically safe, but emotionally safe. You allowed this student to be harassed, okay? And that probably dominated his whole mindset when he came to school each day. He knew this kid was going to be on him, on him, on him. And you did nothing about it. if you're not there to address the political climate, the social, the emotional climate in your school, then you don't belong in education. And the district comes out with some cookie cutter response about how they won't tolerate bullying, they won't tolerate any of this. Okay, but their actual reaction was to suspend Micah for 10 days. And after a review, they reduced that to 5. Still no word. Still no word on what happened with the actual bully, okay? Props to his classmates who came out in support of him, because nobody else did. The adults on that campus did not, all right? This is something that as an educator myself bothers me. It angers me to no end. I'll say it one last time and we're going to move on. If you are not there to protect all of your students, regardless of their opinions, regardless of the things that they say in your class, if you're not there to protect them while they're learning, then you don't belong in education, all right? All right, where are we going next on the Educated Guest podcast? I kind of want to stay off of the negative stuff and get more into the positive, but it's kind of hard. I told you this episode, I want to get some things off of my chest here. Our district, the district I work for, is only middle school and high school, and we are currently in negotiations with our district. I, of course, can't mention too much about that until it's a signed and sealed deal, all right? I hope that we pay attention to the details, and I hope that our members get out and vote for it or against it. I really hope you vote for it, but get out there and vote when the deal comes out. These kinds of things are important. We know that in San Diego Unified School District, there is a huge problem with their budget. And no, the deal with the teachers is not the only thing that affected it. Of course it did, but it's not the only thing. All right, San Diego Unified knew that they were going to have a deficit of about $80 million from the get-go before they went into the deal with the teachers or the classified employees or whatever deals that they made. Okay, so they knew they were going to be 80 in the hole. And then they decided to go ahead and reach an agreement with their teachers, which is all fine and dandy. This is what you are supposed to do, right? After months of negotiations, they came to a deal. And here's an interesting piece of information that I came across. Before the budget was signed, their CFO, we're just going to call her Jen. I don't want to use her real name because I haven't talked to her about it first. Their CFO didn't like the way that the budget was being funded. I think she thought it was a little too creative, okay? Now, she is the CFO for the whole San Diego Unified School District, which is huge. She looks at the budget, doesn't like the way it looks, and doesn't want to sign off on it. News stories will report that Jen left the district for High Tech High, and that's it. Nothing else beyond that. High Tech High is a charter. They have locations all over San Diego. And reports are that she just left. And it's not like, I mean, let's think about this. You're the CFO of a district that's not a low-paying job. You probably pay very well to do that. So to say that she left for a better opportunity would probably be a far reach. She's probably doing the same kind of work, but less work, because High Tech High's enrollment is a lot smaller than all of San Diego Unified, okay? So she didn't like the way that the budget was being funded, so she wouldn't sign off on it, and she left because of that. All right, there's a key fact from my sources that can't really be overlooked here. If your CFO doesn't want to sign off on your budget, then maybe you should go back and look at that budget. All right, so I wish them the best of luck. They're in the hole about $126 million, and of course that means cuts. So we saw that teachers are now getting riffs. They went and made cuts as far away from the classroom as they could. I personally know a few of those people. Well, one of them was an ELD resource person for the whole district. I guess they maybe have about 20 plus ELD resource people that have several schools that they visit and assist. Well, they had a nice little meeting with those folks and told them your jobs are now done. We're going to whittle this down from 20 plus people to 3 people, and you can go ahead and apply for those jobs, right? And it's getting crazy over there. They're cutting people left and right because of the 126 million hole that they're in. I hope to get some educators from that district on my podcast. I've already reached out to a couple of people. They just got to figure out if they want to talk to me about it. All right. We're going to come back in a little bit here. Educated Guest Podcast. I'm going to catch my breath here. Get a little drink of water in a minute. So my district, Sweetwater Union High School District, has been very proactive in addressing the political climate and how it affects our students. And back in December, they came out with a board resolution that is pretty much titled Protecting All of Our Students. It was voted in unanimously. Much love and respect to our board, to our superintendent, and anybody who helped work on that resolution. There's a whole bunch of paragraphs, whereas, but it speaks specifically about addressing the climate of uncertainty in our students, and it talks about creating a safe and inclusive and equitable environment, and it empowers our superintendent to use district resources to make that happen. I know that one of our teachers was talking about how the superintendent and the assistant superintendent for culture and equity and climate, they meet once a month with students and with advisors for the GSA clubs. That's the Gay Straight Alliance clubs. I'm sure they're doing much more than that. But my point was that they took the first step in making the resolution and empowering themselves to put people power and money towards keeping our students safe. You know, if something were to go on a specific campus, we could always refer back to that board resolution to help us make the right decision here, right? We're in the business of protecting our students as we are educating them. For me, the present political climate is a little bit easy to deal with in my classroom because I teach math, and kids don't really try to get too much into politics and math. I'm not a teacher who shares my personal politics with students, and I'm kind of conflicted about that in these days and times because I know that some of them are looking for more guidance on this. I believe that you know, students are to be taught politics at home. The only problem with that is sometimes they get really shitty politics at home. And my inner turmoil is, of course, how we are to address that at the school level, right? I'm not in the business of telling people that their parents are necessarily wrong. I would hope that we are giving them the education to critically think and analyze that for themselves, okay? But in the process of teaching, if I ever see a situation arising where some student doesn't feel safe or that some kind of argument could be coming on, you know, I address that immediately. I had a situation earlier in the school year where I had to immediately escalate it to the assistant principal level. And, of course, I called upon all sets of parents because this kind of stuff should not be tolerated in schools. We need to build a climate of inclusiveness amongst our students. And I really respect our district for taking that first step. In other positive news locally here in San Diego, I got an email from City Council Member David Alvarez saying that he is running for county supervisor in 2020. And I was really pleased to see that. David is an awesome politician and a good person, comes out of the Logan Heights community, San Diego High School, go Cavers. And I sent him an email back saying that I'd love to help, not just monetarily, but I'd like to put my personal time towards that campaign. If there's one thing that people are now starting to see is that, your local politics, they extend all the way to the county and even to the state level. You know, some of us concentrate just on school board elections, maybe city council elections, but you know, some folks don't know that there's the County Board of Supervisors, and they are an even larger umbrella than city councils, okay? So I am very pleased to see that David Alvarez has chosen to run for county supervisor there. Also pleased to know that Alejandra Sotelo Solis announced after her election in November, she announced that she would be running for mayor of National City. And given that they recently voted down a resolution to designate themselves as a welcoming city for immigrants, I would welcome her as mayor of a National City. Now, I currently don't live in those city limits, but that doesn't mean that I can't put my money and my time towards her campaign. All right, we're about to fade to black in a second, but I want to tell you about a few more things before I let you go, and I'm going to send you out with some more funky music. I have a friend of mine who got MS about 6-7 years ago. Of course, you guys all know that multiple sclerosis is extremely debilitating to the body, and he's a good friend of mine. He's a graffiti artist. He's a graphic artist. He's been doing it for years. He works with a collaborative in L.A. called The Seventh Letter. One of the things that he does is the Beat MS Walk in L.A. in April. It's at the Rose Bowl. Me and my family always try to raise money for him, and then we always go walk with him. One of the ways that he's raising money this year is he's selling some t-shirts. They got that graffiti artist stilo. They're really, really nice, really good quality. One black, one gray. As soon as he sends me the PDFs, I'm going to upload those onto my Twitter and let you guys know how you can support by buying those. I'll also put them on my Instagram, which is by the same name, CZAREFF. Now, the Instagram is private, but so long as you don't look shady, and you're not one of my current students, I'll add you, all right? I'm going to send you out with that funky music, another interpolation of Memoirs of a Traveler by the Jaggers. Special shout out to my duo. He ain't here, okay? My boy Rodrigo. We are the EPMD of Education Podcast. I'm Eric Sermon, and he's PMD. And currently he is out. Dang, messing up the sound. Currently, PMD is out at a festival for education. It's called South by Southwest EDU. It's in Austin, Texas, and he's out there to get pumped on design thinking. He's probably in his skivvies right now, like it's Burning Man or something, Coachella. It's like a Comic-Con, if you will, of education, all kind of people's there. One of the highlights for me, it was the day two keynote by an academic named Sarah Goldrick Rabb. She is the leading source on affordability of higher education. Basically, we got more kids today that want to go to college, but they can't afford it. We all know this. We all know what the right thing to do is. So please go to my Twitter and watch that speech. I want to also remind you guys, protect all the students. Big H. Stay away from the finger food and stop tweeting nonsense, bro. Okay? Stay away from the free snacks. Step down, my man. I want to remind you guys to go see the movie Get Out. Thought-provoking will change you. Okay? And get at your boy, CZAREFF, on them Twitters. Educated Guest Podcast. Peace.